from KQED's Snap Studios. This is A Tiny Plot. Welcome back to A Tiny Plot, a story told in five parts. This is chapter five. When we left off...
You know how all little girls, they want that white house with the white picket fence? She got it. May have taken a little longer, but she has it now.
After an entire year of fighting and planning and building, the group from Union Point finally moved into their new co-governed home on East 12th Street.
It's kind of nice, you know? We feel comfortable and we feel safe.
Until one morning, I heard helicopters above my apartment near Lake Merritt and checked my phone. I saw a text from Adam. One of the tiny homes on East 12th caught fire. I gathered my gear and ran to the site.
How are you guys? Are you okay?
From KQED Snap Studios, I'm Shayna Sheely. This is A Tiny Plot, Chapter 5, Burned.
You okay?
This episode contains strong language and graphic imagery. Listeners, please take care. When I get to East 12th, Mama D is on the corner of the block, trying to calm down her dogs that are tied up to a pole. Her face is smeared with black ash. She checks her phone, sees missed calls from her daughter, ignores them, answers questions from the group, looks back out through the fence. Matt's inside, holding a hose, aiming water at a pile of ash. There's still heat coming from it.
It's a disgrace. Look, they don't even have no frame to the home. It all melted. Within seconds, it was gone like that.
Early this morning, Mama D was washing dishes near the water spigot, and then she smelled smoke and heard yelling.
And then I hear, boom, boom, boom. Scared the shit out of me. Oh, my God. The house in flames and just melted. Within seconds, it was gone. I'm thinking, oh, it ain't as bad as it looks. It could be worse. Shit. You could have been right in that bed and all that shit melt on top of you. That's what scares me.
Fire raced through the Lakeview Village tiny home development in Oakland Monday morning. This is citizen video of the thick black smoke shooting into the air.
Security camera footage shows smoke seeping out of one of the Union Point pallet shelters at 8:57 a.m. The guy who lived there had left the site around 7 that morning. You can see the smoke actually drifting up from the tiny home for just seconds before the heat pressed against its ceiling and its walls, and the front door burst open.
It was like 4 or 5 blowouts or pops.
Flames spilled out of the front door, engulfing the plastic walls of the pallet shelter.
That flame is red, that orange red. That's like chemical.
By 9:01, 4 minutes later, the plastic walls melted to the ground. The fire moved east, lashing through another shelter.
In 5 minutes, it's like one.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So fast.
Tammy was asleep next door. She slept through the yelling, but woke up from the intense heat radiating through her walls. Still in her PJs, she sprung up and ran outside with 2 dogs in her arms.
Oh, Tammy's running, holding her dogs.
And 3 of her dogs are on the ground. One of her dogs went running out.
Flames charged up a wall of her tiny home, and she threw the dogs out of her arms towards the fence. The footage shows Tammy then running back into her smoldering house to get her other 2 dogs, still locked up in crates.
And then by the time I saw that, there was maybe about a minute and 30 seconds before the whole place was completely engulfed in flames.
Within 6 minutes, 3 houses had melted to the ground. They belonged to Tammy, Mustache Mike and Rachel, and a resident named Weddo. Mama D's husband's house was half burned.
it happened so fast. I mean, the material that these units are built out of is fiber reinforced plastic with polystyrene core, and styrofoam just like burns.
The walls are foam insulated panels made of fiberglass reinforced plastic with aluminum framing. These materials meet a Class C fire rating, which implies a faster flame spread than Class A materials like treated wood and concrete. When I spoke with California architect Naren Kadrabegovic, he told me that building code regulations would likely prohibit him from building a regular house solely with the materials Pallet uses. There are just so many regulations around energy and environment and safety. Many of them are lifted for emergency housing. He also told me I can't hold Pallet shelter to the same standards as a regular house, because it's not one. Emergency homes like Pallet shelters, he said, are glorified tents. They're small spaces with a bed and an egress hatch in the back and a door. And if you start looking at these shelters as anything more than that, then you'll have to build a house. And then, he says, it'll take forever to build, which feels impossible when you're in a housing crisis. But the residents here at East 12th, they had no say whatsoever in using Pallet shelters. The homes came from a contract with the city. And now, people are just sort of hanging around the sidewalk, peering through the fence at their home, their promised land, in rubble.
Now I know what traumatized means, make you feel funny.
One resident, James, is straddling a city bike outside the fence.
I just want to leave before another explosion. I don't got nowhere to go. I don't got nowhere to leave to. I saw everything. And when I turned around to get the fire extinguisher, the cabin was engulfed.
Tim walks by to tell people that the new management wants them at the pavilion on the other side of the fence at Lakeview Village.
What right now?
You said when all this is up.
What are they going to tell us? They got some different housing for us right now?
No, they're going to tell everybody that everything has to go.
I can't even think straight right now.
The site manager from the nonprofit has arrived and tries to gather people.
We need to have a community meeting today.
Okay. It's... People are a little traumatized right now,
sure,
you realize that?
We need to have our meeting, Michelle, because this is a very unsafe environment over here. So and now the city's coming down and all this shit. So we got to figure out how we can live in a safe environment. And
well, it's not unsafe because of our doing.
Well, it's too much stuff right here for sure.
There is a lot of stuff on the ground, inside and outside the pallet shelters. But President Matt points to the plastic and styrofoam pallet shelters that melted in the fire.
Yeah, but look, none of that would have mattered. It had everything to do with the construction materials of the structure.
Okay, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying this is way too much material and too many supplies and belongings here.
Now they have an excuse to come down and completely dissolve all of our autonomy and take down the fence and absorb us into the place next door, which we're going to lose all of the decisions that we've voted on and worked so hard for.
Matt feels this was the city's plan from the beginning, to find any reason to prove that homeless people are incapable of being in charge of their own lives.
They can't have homeless people standing up for themselves and getting autonomy, because then more people are going to keep doing that.
And now, their experiment is in literal ashes.
Now they have an excuse.
No one goes to that meeting led by the nonprofit managers. Instead, Mama D piles extra blankets into a sort of bed on the floor of the security shed for Tammy.
Do you think this is the end of this project?
Probably. Because if we gotta fight for anything or stand up for ourselves, it's gonna be against them and they're not gonna like it.
Them as the city. Where
yeah, and it's gonna hurt us at the same time.
Tammy can barely talk because of the smoke, the fumes, the lack of sleep. The air smells like burnt tires. The official report deemed the East 12th fire an accident of unknown cause. The day of the fire, the Oakland Fire Department had already responded to three other incidents in homeless encampments, all before they got the call about East 12th.
We didn't want these pallet shelters, especially when we found out they were made of styrofoam. They melted.
I spoke with Pallet's CEO, Amy King, and she was clear. The fire was not related to the pallet materials. She reminded me that each shelter passes a safety inspection by a local fire marshal before anyone moves in, and that the materials used to build pallet shelters are specifically selected for safety, ease of use, and cost efficiency. In a letter to the city of Oakland, she attributed the fire to, quote, the lack of management and oversight of this village, a factor that Pallet has no responsibility for, end quote. In response to the fire, Pallet now requires cities to show proof that they've hired trained service providers to manage and oversee safety at pallet shelter sites.
They're trying to emphasize on the fact that we had too much stuff or whatever. That stuff didn't even burn. It's still on the ground. All the fucking outside burned.
What do you want now?
I don't want to be here. I don't want to be part of this because I didn't, that wasn't what I signed up for.
Do you think you're going to leave?
Yeah, sometime. I don't know when. Because I'm totally set back by everything.
Do you have a place to go?
Thousands of dollars of stuff I lost.
I'm so sorry. It's awful.
I mean, you wouldn't think you'd go through this two times in a lifetime. I have to look at that stuff. I have to wake up to that today and feel like shit. This just wasn't the thing, what we've been doing for the last year, getting ready for this. I feel like everybody's neglected because they don't give a fuck and it's not fair.
What's going to happen to the dream of a co-governed home? Stay tuned to find out. You're listening to A Tiny Plot. I'm your host, Shayna Sheely. When we left off, a fire had swept through the plot, leaving homes in ashes. The night after the fire, Tammy slept on the floor of the security shed, and someone else slept on the floor of the kitchen. Others bunked up in pallet shelters that went unscathed in the fire. In the following days, the city designated Union Point on the Rise a fire hazard. They said the houses are too close together. There's too much stuff outside and inside them. The nonprofit managers from next door came onto the site and took over security. They instructed the residents to clear the grounds around their pallet shelters. And they made an announcement. The fence separating the two sites, it was a safety hazard and would have to come down.
Shit ain't legal that they doing to us.
What happened?
Bitch, you can't come and tell us we still co-govern, but you making all the rules and shit that we gotta go bye-bye here? We are co-govern. We ain't supposed to have nobody tell us what to do. We're supposed to be running this.
Mama D is exhausted.
None of this shit is safe for none of us. All they're doing is telling us that this has to go, that has to go. I'm sorry. I'm done.
What?
I'm done.
She walks back to her pallet shelter and starts organizing her shoes into a bin, clearing the rocks by her front door into a dusty pathway. I'm talking to her when a safety inspector walks onto the site with some people from the city. The inspector surveys the shelter.
I don't have no problem moving my stuff, but I was cleaning my shoes.
Rachel, I'm sorry. I really don't want you to, like, constantly on the site. Do you
okay.
Like, you really have to talk with HCB if you're going to be on the site.
Okay, I guess I thought it was up to them.
No.
Okay.
It's not. It's up to the people that run the site, which is the Housing Consortium of these.
Laura from the city turns to me and tells me, you need to leave.
So okay. What's wrong with her being on the site? All of our sites, we don't let media just be on the site. Nobody should be here. Security shouldn't be letting anybody in except who lives here.
This is the first time I've been asked to leave Union Point on the Rise. I walk away, and Tammy follows me outside the fence.
Well, I just have something to report on.
Yeah, can you tell me what just happened?
Just like we assumed they were taking our co-governorship away.
Yeah, I mean, they just kicked me out of the site.
And
I thought that was up to you guys to decide.
Well, it's not anymore, because I knew they were going to take it.
Yeah.
But you know why they're taking it.
Why are they taking it?
You know why. Because we're homeless. That's the bottom line.
A few hours after I was asked to leave, I walk back to the site. The sun is glaring.
They took our fence down.
There's a work crew with helmets and neon vests. They're digging up the chain link fence between Union Point on the Rise and Lakeview Village.
They're tearing it down right now.
Wait for me. I'll show you.
The city's crew dismantles the fence, and the Union Point residents are right behind them, nailing together scraps of building material to build it right back up.
Mike,
what are you doing? Putting a fence up.
How come?
So they took our fence out. The city took the fence, so we gotta put it in there.
They are not letting that fence come down. Everyone has a role. Lucy carries planks of wood to the fence line. Mustache Mike handles the drill. Others steady the pieces. Mama D takes a sledgehammer to the scorch pallet wall and knocks it down. James is on the sidewalk holding a poster in protest.
What does your sign say?
See?
City of Oakland using dictator enforcement against our rights as Americans in a free nation. What does that mean to you?
It means that they're running us, you know? They coerced us into there was a false sense of security. I was coerced into a bad position. You know, we want what was agreed upon, you know?
What do you, James,
want? I don't want to live here. I want to live in a regular home,
yeah.
You know? I've been living here all my life. They jacked the prices, the whole Bay Area, since it's the land of milk and honey, and they're making it unaffordable for anybody to live, especially me, on a fixed income,
right.
You know. I just want to be okay, that's all, you know.
What's left is a patchwork of plywood and picket fence, held together with nails and screws. Tied onto the plywood is a beige tarp stretched along the line that separates Union Point's experiment in co-governance from the land allotted to Lakeview Village. This story started on a mountain of trash at Union Point Park, a barricade that Mama D and President Matt and the others built to protect their community. On that trash pile, this group of people came together to fight for a piece of land they could make their own, where they could stay for 3 to 5 years with toilets and running water and electricity and autonomy to make their own choices about how the place would run. It was a dream. And when this group of people was placed on the same block Mama D's son was shot, when the city told them their new homes would actually be 8x8 plastic sheds, when they got stuck with porta-potties and plastic pump sinks, Mama D and President Matt and the others still showed up again and again to pull together scraps of say-so over what would happen next in their lives. They always returned to their dream. It honestly felt like kind of an extraordinary thing to witness. And now, 12 months after they made a deal with the city on a pile of trash, they are picking up pieces of their lives from another pile. This one, mostly ashes. Mama D digs up a blackened jewelry box that belongs to Tammy President Matt finds a binder of baseball cards, warped and charred. They throw the items back into this growing mountain of trash and save what they can to carry forward.
I'm not gonna lie and I'm not gonna sugarcoat nothing for nobody. Mm-hmm. Being homeless is the worst. But on the other hand, I feel proud of us as a community sticking together and getting through what people didn't think we could do. We're still going to stay at it, going until the end, and it's not over.
What happened to the group from Union Point? Stay tuned to find out. Welcome back. This is A Tiny Plot. I'm your host, Shayna Sheely. The city's public works crews eventually dismantled what was left of the fence, and Union Point on the Rise was dissolved into Lakeview Village later that spring. The city called the combined sites Lake Point. This didn't go over well at first. Some saw it as a loss of their hard-fought-for autonomy, but over time, others accepted it and signed on to Lake Point's program. When the summer came around, those who remained installed AC units to cool their common space. They set it up with chairs and tables and a chest freezer filled with popsicles and beer. It was open to the entire site. They also built 5 garden beds facing the lake. As for big wins, well, the entire site got access to spigots with running water. A defunct city bus was brought to the site and turned into a functioning bathroom with hot water showers. Since then, other temporary city homelessness sites in Oakland use this model to also get running water and real toilets that flush. And then, shortly after the merge, Oakland City Council voted to hand the whole East 12th parcel over to a developer with a new plan to build 100% affordable housing on the plot. There will be 185 units, all reserved for low-income people, which means you have to be making between 20 and 60% of Oakland's medium income to live there. It's actually pretty interesting if you look at the calculation. Someone making $60,000 a year qualifies. All the folks living at Lake Point eventually relocated. Some went to other transitional housing sites. Others chose to go back to the streets. The old city bus with hot water showers and toilets now lives at a transitional city housing site in East Oakland. The 12th Street development project is under construction. I recently went back with Mama D to check it out.
Yeah, what does it look like? So we're driving past East 12th, the East 12th parcel right now.
Yeah. There was garbage dumpsters here.
Yeah.
That.
100% affordable housing coming soon on a sign.
That's what the sign says.
But you think it's a good idea?
I think it's the best.
But the city is still building temporary sites to address the homelessness crisis, though they no longer use pallet shelters. And still, according to an audit on the City of Oakland's homelessness services, there's evidence that these shorter-term programs do not succeed at getting people off the streets permanently. Former council president Nikki Fortunato Boss is now the Alameda County Supervisor for District 5.
The real problem that I think I'm personally trying to solve is poverty. And ultimately, I think it's about economic inequality. And so a lot of times we are just putting Band-Aids on problems. Like housing is the solution to homelessness, certainly. But there's also the problem that housing is incredibly expensive, and it's incredibly expensive because of our capitalist system and the inequality it's created. Homelessness is a symptom of the problem.
Nita B., the housing activist, believes that for a moment there was actually a huge opportunity here to learn from this experiment and from the people who used to live at Union Point Park.
through their organizing power, they were also able to negotiate all their basic needs of food, shelter, water, and sanitation met at the tiny house pallet site. Now, curfews, showers on site, freedom to move, freedom of speech, they were allowed to be human. They were really allowed to be human. And it's a shame that the city, rather than extend all those things that Union Point fought for, that Union Point got stripped of all of that in the name of being fair and equitable to all the other unhoused folks in city-funded interventions. What the city should have done was extend those basic rights and basic needs to everyone that they were housing in their city interventions.
As for the other characters in this story, President Matt is back living on the streets in Oakland. Tammy and a few others are living in a different kind of temporary shelter site, where this time, the city has provided trailers. Adam is selling real estate in Stockton, specializing in affordable ADUs. Mama D entered the lottery for a spot in a deeply affordable housing project, and won. She was the only one in the group to get a spot in permanent housing.
It's a one-bedroom living room, kitchen, and then now I got all my little stickers for the wall and stuff. But yeah, this is my house.
She lives there in downtown Oakland with her son, Dupree.
And if you were in charge, like if you were the homelessness administrator for the city of Oakland, what would your plan be?
I would put the money towards building housing instead of shelters and temporary nonprofits.
What about all the temporary programs, like even the co-governance program?
It don't help. It don't help.
What do people need?
They need the housing. And I feel that some, we have, I'm bringing this up. Weddle was murdered.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. They never placed him nowhere. Mm-hmm. They just sent him back on the street.
One member of the Union Point group, who people called Weddo, was found dead in the summer outside of a 7-Eleven in Oakland. Mama D also worried that Papa Eddie had died somewhere on the street after the group was kicked out of the East 12th site. She said the last she heard was that his son found him sleeping in a puddle back at Union Point Park, and that he had caught pneumonia. She and I went back to the park to try to find him.
Hey, you seen Papa Eddie?
Last I heard, he went to the hospital.
Papa's the hospital, what happened?
I don't know where he's at now.
Years after the city cleanup crews mass evicted homeless people from Union Point Park, there are still people living there. When I was there recently with Mama D, we saw around 10 tents in the grass. A fort made of found materials, laundry lines tied to poles and elevated footbridges. The parking lot was nearly full of trucks and sedans and people living out of them. Mama D called for Papa Eddie over and over again, inside tents and underneath bridges.
We found him.
What the heck? I've been looking for you forever.
Papa Eddie.
Forever.
I thought I heard somebody calling Papa.
We found him on a grassy lawn at Union Point Park. He says he comes here most days to enjoy the view and the fresh air.
I'm just enjoying the fresh air and having lunch.
He had a hospital sticker on his shirt. He asked me to take a picture of him standing in front of the anchor he painted back when he first started sleeping here.
Take a picture of me standing in front of it?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay, I'd love that. And then all the people from the music industry and all the people from the movie industry. Ask be a member of more than one union, you know, show.
That's it for A Tiny Plot. I'm your host, Shayna Sheely. and I want to thank everyone who worked on this show. First, the entire Union Point cast. Thank you for letting me into your world. And second, the whole team at Snap Studios. A Tiny Plot is a production of KQED Snap Studios, hosted and produced by Shayna Sheely, edited by Anna Sussman. Original music by Renzo Gorio. Extra special thanks to Jen Chen, Catherine Winter, the City of Oakland, Sweetie at the Travel Inn, Ryan Finnegan, Will Kraft, J.P. Dobrin, Thomas Browns, Suki Lewis, Alistair Boone and the Street Spirit, and KQED Legal. Engineering by Pat Macedi Miller. Director of Production, Marissa Dodge. Our executive producers are Glenn Washington and Mark Ristich. On Team Snap, the union-represented producers, artists, editors, and engineers are members of the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, Communications Workers of America, AFL-CIO, Local 51. And this is not the news. No way is this the news. Because this is Snap Judgment. Get your ears ready and keep your hearts open, because this is PRX.